Hey there, just a quick heads up. We're not doctors and this isn't medical advice. We're just sharing what's worked for us. So as always, check with a healthcare professional before making any changes. All right, let's get into it.
Hello and welcome back. We're so happy you're here. There are moments in history when a man's death does more than end a life. It ignites a movement. Stephen, in the book of Acts, was the first Christian martyred for his faith. He was unapologetic, bold in his faith, and speaking truth about Christ. And for many, they hated him for it. In fact, he was stoned to death. The person that authorized that execution was Saul, who was transformed to Paul, and probably, undoubtedly, one of the boldest voices ever for Christ. So what they thought was going to happen was it would silence them, but it didn't. It was a turning point. Fast forward to today, Charlie Kirk founded Turning Point USA, and he wanted it to wake up a generation to speak truth and stand up for truth against cowardice and confusion and compromise. He welcomed questions and on any topic, anyone that wanted to debate him, to talk to him, he welcomed them. And every answer was rooted in his faith and his conviction. Charlie brought scripture into cultural conversations. He had bold truth in a hostile world. And just like Stephen, Charlie was martyred for his faith. Charlie's life and his death will be a turning point, not just for America, but for the church in America and beyond. Let's get this show started.
So yeah, so this past week, it's been a tough week.
Yeah.
It's been a tough week for people across the entire world.
Yeah.
Right now. It's been devastating. And, you know, I followed Charlie Kirk. I followed him for years mm-hmm. and listened to his messages, loved the way he could articulate and debate a point like no one else. But, you know, I don't think I knew how much I enjoyed him until, unfortunately, after his passing. But now watching so many more videos of just him and his message and what he was about, and now watching some of what his wife put out there that I hadn't known about before, I don't think I realized what an amazing man he really was.
Yeah, he was, you know, to be honest with you, Amber, I told you, I over the past 2 years, it's been a weird 2 years for me, obviously. My own health journey kind of impacted, like, what I listened to and what I watched, and I really tried to stay away as much as I could from any kind of political thing. Yeah. And not that he was about that. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, he was definitely bringing his faith into every conversation. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really ever listen to him. And it was interesting, you know, the day that he passed, my daughter, Finley, came in, who was an avid listener of his. And I didn't even know that she listened to him. An avid listener of his, and was devastated by his passing. And, yeah. You know, I just, you know, he had that impact, and it was because of the way he communicated. He was a really good communicator. And, you know, the thing is that his death, you know, is honestly an amazing wake-up call for so many that are out there mm-hmm. That are, you know, have been looking for a way and a reason to be emboldened in their faith and to just share it, and, like, without hesitation and without, you know, like, without caring, and not to be, like, you know, like, rude or to say it in an off-putting way, take his approach, right? Like, take his approach. Like, don't shove it down, you know, someone's throat, but do it in a way that they are like, wow, okay, so that joy that you feel in your heart, that you witnessed in his, you know, countenance, he embodied that. Mm-hmm. Like he had a joyful spirit.
He did. And he took the opportunity to seek out those conversations. And I think that's something that made him so unique, is seeking out those opportunities to share your faith and just have a conversation and not shy away from it. Being able to articulate your point, it's admirable. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And watching what he did.
And it was his spirit. And like, that's the thing about, you know, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, you can get $100 worth or you can get a nickel's worth. I mean, really, like, it's a matter of, you know, how much we, you know, embrace that spirit that's inside of us. Mm-hmm. And how much we, it's kind of like a relationship, right? Like the best way I can describe it is like your spouse. You can invest time and energy into your marriage and you can, you know, invest in that relationship, and there's a give and take relationship. You guys love each other. You know, want to do nice things for each other. You want to spend time with them. You want to, you know, care for them and all of those things. And when you accept Christ, the Spirit comes to live inside of you. And not that he is asking for things from you, because he's the Holy Spirit from Christ, but he is wanting you to spend time and invest time into him. So that $100 worth that, you know, honestly, I think Charlie Kirk had, you know, he embodied and experienced the Holy Spirit in a, like, an amazing way. And you could see it. You could see the joy that was in his heart and his smile and his overall being. And people witnessed that, which brought people to Christ because he had that joy. Same with, you know, you have a nickel's worth. You're still sealed. You're still accepted. You're still going to go to heaven. But did you get all that you could get from the relationship that you had with the Spirit, which is Jesus Christ? And so I think that Charlie Kirk embodied that. He inspires me in his death to want to share even more than I have ever before, and to encourage our kids and people that I care about to not just have a nickel's worth of that spirit, but to have insurmountable amount of it. And that is what I think Charlie did for so many, was just,
he sparked showed something.
He did.
He sparked something inside of a lot of people. And I'll say, like I said, it's been a rough week, and the rage that I felt those first few days, like, that's not something I would say I typically ever feel rage. That's just not my personality. But I had, like, rage. I just felt so angry. And so I the wave of emotions that I felt. And the one thing that I think gives me peace is seeing those stories. And, you know, because we all see the other side of it, just the stories of him bringing people to faith. There was a video that I watched, a gentleman who, he was interviewed after, unfortunately it was after the death, but he said he was planning on going to an event, a planned event that Charlie Kirk had, because he said, I used to be an atheist, but I watched Charlie speak and never attended in person, but he goes, I watched him and I saw the joy that he had inside of him, and it sparked something inside of that gentleman, and he's now a Christian. He was going to one of Charlie's future events just to tell him. And again, that's just one, and there are thousands. And seeing those stories over the last few days have, and being with nature, I'll say nature, being outside, that always brings me closer to God. It soothes me. It's what I need. Yeah. It's my thing. And with Charlie my Kirk animals. Too.
Charlie Kirk, I saw a video where he was really an outside nature kind of guy.
There's something about nature.
Oh, it's God. God created
just,
it.
Brings you, it makes you feel closer. It's just, it gives you peace. Animals, I mean, for me, it's same thing. It's being outside, being in nature, being with my animals. It calms me. And so I've been outside a lot these last few days. And then those videos as well of just seeing all that he his death and his life has inspired people to do, and making heaven crowded.
Yes,
as his wife said, and is kind of one of their slogans or tagline on one of their websites. It's he's definitely accomplishing that mission, which is amazing.
Yeah, and you know, I just, you know, you don't get to see people like that very often. You know, I mentioned, you know, Stephen in the beginning, and he was the first Christian martyr for his faith, and what that led to with, you know, Saul being transformed into Paul, and the impact obviously that that had. I mean, Paul wrote, you know, most of the New Testament, and so, you know, it's exciting to see, like, in our generation, to witness, you know, the transformation of possibly America, and how that will, based on his impact, his his position, his calling. Obviously, it was his calling.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there's no question that God equipped him, his spirit. You know, we were given spiritual gifts, and he had given him a spiritual gift of a master communicator, and
excellent,
and a master of memorization of the scriptures and understanding scriptures and understanding and empathizing. He had obviously given him several spiritual gifts, and he did, and he used those. He didn't let them go to waste.
Nope.
He was constantly at campuses. He was constantly sharing the Lord and bringing it into any conversation that he could, and not in an off-putting position.
No, but from a very accepting, just educational, he just wanted to speak the truth.
Right.
And he wanted to share what brought him joy. And he wanted to share everything he knew to bring others closer to Christ as well. And it's just, it's those stories and watching him speak that bring me peace right now.
Yeah.
During this time.
Well, and that was Jesus in him, you know, and the good part of this is that Jesus is still here.
Oh yeah.
And he is alive and well. And he is being, you know, shared all over the world. And it's a lot of it has to do with what Charlie started.
Again, absolutely.
It is not finished. I mean, we're just in the beginning of seeing the ripple effect, just like the martyr, you know, in Stephen. Again, I wanted to show that what that impact can have on a generation, on a society, on people, is that just like Stephen, who was martyred for his faith, now we have another person who was just sharing Jesus and sharing his faith in a cultural, you know, we're in a very, like, I don't want to say war, but kind of.
Honestly, it does feel like it's good versus evil.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say this is left versus right. I say this is good versus evil. This is... I mean, I don't even have other words for it, but it is. It's we're fighting evil.
Yeah, and it is. And
Charlie's inspiring millions of people,
right?
To honestly just be emboldened, not be fearful to speak out, not be hesitant to. I think he just helps ignite or spark something. And at least for me, and again, I know there's a lot of advice. I love the videos of him in the clips where it's younger. There's one with like a 13-year-old girl asking, "Hey, give me advice." Those are great ones. Mm-hmm. Or his wife did a, "Hey, what's your tip for the day?" And she did like a little Instagram series that I saw that was posted, and he just random advice that he gives, but things that are motivating to me, make me want to be a better person, is, you know, he reads 100 books a year.
Wow.
I'm not a big reader, and I'm, you know, I should, there's a certain segment of books, like herbalist books and plant books, but outside of that, I don't do a lot of reading other than articles.
Yeah.
So I know specifically for me, I'm going to start doing more reading. He's got a whole recommendation on his website of different books. So that, and then, you know, the other thing he talks about as well that I used to do a lot better at, and I know we were a happier family when we did it, and then we just kind of got away from it the last few years, but we would do detox weekends where we put all cell phones away. We had no social, not social media in sense, but just we put all cell phones away. We didn't really watch a lot of TV, and just as a family, we would spend the entire weekend really just family, good quality bonding time.
Yeah.
And And it's been a while since we've done that. So we're definitely going to go back to that, because I know he talks about, he puts his phone away and gave an example and just how that would recharge his battery.
Yeah.
After maybe traveling for a whole week or, you know, focusing on work, he would have one day set aside for just his entire family and no work. And that was a Sabbath. And
yeah.
Again, little things like that, that I take, that I know I'm going to start incorporating into my life, because I'll be happier, I'll be better for my family, a better wife, better Christian, and happier.
Yeah.
For sure.
More joy-filled.
Yes, more joy-filled. That's what it is.
And I always like
to find a positive. You know, I've got, it brings you down after a couple of days. And so I needed to find the positive. And so
that
brings me joy.
The joy that, you know, Christ gives us, even in, you know, because happiness, sadness is fleeting. You know, those are emotions. Yeah. But that joy, you know, comes in the morning. And it's the connection that we have. And I think the connection of being in nature is just, again, the constant reminder of the vastness of God and how much he's created, you know,
everything is perfectly. I mean, just looking at the littlest, tiniest details, like, man, the thought that goes into that, it's perfection. It's just amazing. And nature, you just feel closer to God.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. You just do.
Well, we are made from dust. Well, we're actually women, so we're made from Adam's rib. But yes, I mean, really, like, I think that is a definite connection. That's why grounding, I think, is so connecting.
Absolutely.
To, you know, we get to like actually like feel the earth and where we came from, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think just to go back to your point that this is, and I really want to highlight that, you know, this isn't left or right.
No.
You know, and I think that that's what a lot of people will try to bring into this is, you know, there's going to be some, you know,
we have some out there crazies on every side.
Yeah.
But I think people are, at least you're mad, you're angry, you're full of rage. Initially, like, you want to blame someone. Again, I'm not someone that would ever say rage is not something that describes me, but the rage I felt, and I only imagine for someone who really feels like that all the time, just feel like you want to come out of your skin, you want to blame somebody, you're just angry and finding something positive to grasp onto.
Well, we're not battling against flesh and blood. I mean, it's scripture says that, you know, we're not battling against flesh and blood. We're really governments or anything. We're battling against the heavenly realms, which is the good and evil, the angels and the demons that are, you know, out to try to destroy us. And they're gonna keep battling. I mean, it's not like this is new. Mm-mm. This has been around since the beginning of time. And so, you know, we have to put on that armor, right? Like one of the verses, and, you know, I hope that, you know, you maybe already do it, but, you know, my kids know it, you know, it's like putting on the full armor of God, you know, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the spirit, the belt of truth, our feet shodded with the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith. Faith, like, always loves to say that because she's like, my name's in it.
Yeah.
The shield of faith. But the most important piece of all of that is prayer and our ability to pray for others. And what this past week has done for me, and it's, I feel like God just has laid the Kirk family on my heart. I can't tell you how many times my family and I have prayed. I've prayed quietly by myself about them, but it's like every time that I think about them, and it's been like a lot. Again, I told you in the beginning, like I didn't even ever listen to him before his death. And so I've just been continuously praying for them. And I know he's in heaven and he is happy and he's right next to Jesus and he wouldn't want to come back, right? But the people here that are missing him, especially his wife and his two children, you know, I've just asked for peace for them and just to know and have comfort knowing that he's where he is and he is just fine.
So there's on Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica Kirk, her website, she's got a Christian clothing company. And one thing I wanted to share that I found this weekend that I've signed up for is they do, I guess this is their 10th year. Next year in January, they start their 10th year where they do Bible in 365. So it's where they're reading the Bible end to end, and you can sign up, and they've got like support groups and question Q&A sessions and live Q&A sessions along the way. So it is for anyone that wants to sign up. It's Proclaim 365. And they've got Bible in 365 in the menu options, and you can go in and sign up. And there's it's a starting in January. They've got this program, and then every month they're going to host a free virtual Bible in 365 live Q&A, so that everybody can come together via a live stream, answer any kind of questions, but just putting together a community of individuals who are interested in learning the Scripture, learning the stories of the Bible just a little bit better. So it's out there, and wanted to put that out there for anyone who is interested. Yeah. So I'm signing up, and me and my kids are going to do it. So
that's so awesome.
Yeah.
See, like that is,
but it inspires me, you know, it's something that he's inspired me in a lot of ways, but I'm excited about a lot of things, but I'm excited for this one for sure.
Yeah. You know, it's like passing on that legacy.
It's what it is. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, you know, how do you want to be remembered? I watched a video of him and he was talking about, it was interesting. I want to say it was 2 months ago, but it could have been 2 years. So I don't know exactly the time, but it was within the last 2 years for sure. Someone asked him how he wanted to be remembered, and he, you know, he could have said a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he was a guy that knew a lot, and he said, I want to be remembered for my courage and my faith. And I just found that so, like, how do you want to be remembered? You know, like, that's your legacy.
It
like,
is your legacy.
And, like, you know, I always think of the verse, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. And that has been, like, what I, you know, if I were to say, you know, what is my legacy? How do I want to be remembered? It would be for me to get to heaven and Jesus to look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because then I'll feel like I've done everything that I was called to do.
Yeah.
And so I know I have a lot more to do. Charlie got his done in 31 years, but I know I have a lot more to do. And he has inspired me he's emboldened me to do more and to be louder and stronger, but with a kindness and gentleness way and approach.
He talks about being salt and light a lot. And so changing, because salt and light would change that environment when they're introduced. And he talks about that and how we're called to be that salt and light. And so again, that's another thing that really, really spoke to me and again, inspired me, especially these last few days. Been very tough. So I think both of us, I think millions are walking away with something, and he sparked a lot of change, a lot of inspiration in a lot of people. Yes, so
he did. And it's, you know, I'm excited.
That part brings me joy.
Yeah.
It's nice to have some, you know, again, after the last, it's nice to have some joy and those, and seeing the videos of people saying, help me find a church. A local person posted that it posts a lot in one of my local groups. And it was this morning, it was his first post about, okay, I think I'm ready. Help guide me to a church.
Awesome.
And it's just stuff like that. It gives you the joy. It gives you the joy. And right now I think a lot of us need that. And so those are some amazing stories of some amazing things that Charlie was able to do in his time on earth.
Yeah.
And will only continue to do about his legacy, and that his wife is going to carry on his organization. And so a lot of good things. I truly think that we'll look back, as I was telling you this time, I don't know when, a few years, a few months, who knows when, but we'll say this is the turning point of a younger generation. I think just of society. I think this sparked a lot in a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
truth.
It did.
Truth is what people, truth is what I think was the main message. And, you know, the fundamentals of life in the, you know, in our world, there's so many things vying for our attention, and there's so many misguided truths. And the one solid truth, and I put this, my husband and I, we talk about this all the time with our kids, you know, when everything else in the world is out there and you are, it's vying for your attention and you don't know where to go and you don't know what truth is truly, like, because you've heard a million different things, go back to the Bible. It's the only truth.
Yeah.
It is the truth, and go back to that and make sure you have one, because you never know how long those are going to be here. So have your Bible, go back to your Bible, and, you know, and be just open to receiving what he has for you. And I think it's interesting how we can read the Bible and read one verse, and then literally you get something completely different than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a way in which the Holy Spirit speaks for us, right?
Yeah.
So Charlie didn't name his organization Turning Point USA by accident. He knew we were in a cultural war, and he called for courage. We are now here. We are emboldened. We have the opportunity to take the courage that he set forth and equip our kids, equip our family, and anyone that's willing to listen, to take a stand for what is right, what is noble, what is true, to think on those things and not be compromised or, I hate to say it, but cowardice, to stand up and be firm in our faith. That's what Charlie would have wanted. That's what the Holy Spirit wants in each of us. And so I encourage you to stand up and to make a stand for your faith, for Jesus, and for what Charlie started. The name catches you, but the truth keeps you.
Thanks for joining.
Thanks for joining. Let the honest conversation